Today, as we come to the table,
I love this, guys. This is somebody saying, look, if you will just spend time with me, just be there, I'll give you the law. I'll give you tablets of stone. I'll write, not the law that we come under, but the picture of God's word. What do I mean by that? Listen, our job is just to be there. If we're going to get to know the Lord and develop a relationship, what do we have to do? Be there. Can we have a relationship with the Lord if we're never around Him? Can we have a relationship with the Lord if we're doing all these other things all the time? No, we need to set aside that time and say, Lord, I'm going to be there. Here I am. I'm going to be there.
Guess what? God wants to spend time with you. It's true. And Pastor Mark will tell you more about it today. Now the question becomes, do you want to spend time with the Lord? Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In order to get to know someone better, what do? You don't sit around hoping to simply absorb information. You spend time getting to know them. You talk to them. Maybe read something they've written. All in an effort to gain knowledge. The same should be true for your relationship with God. You want to know Him better, right? Then spend time with Him, reading His Word and talking to Him. The more time you spend, the more you'll learn. Turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 24 and join Pastor Mark as he continues his message, The Power of Blood.
Can we walk with God in our own strength? I know you know the answer to that. We can't do it. You know, it's impossible. And some of us get it because we hear that. Okay, I tell you can't walk with God in your own strength. Some of you get that. You just can do it. I don't know why. Good for you. And then there's people like me that have to try for years and years and then finally get exasperated and say, I really can't do anything. You know, the Lord said something to His disciples that kind of, it didn't bother me, like I didn't think that it wasn't true or I didn't like what the Lord said. It bothered me because I didn't really understand it. He said, you can't do anything without me. Because I can go to a whole list of things. You know, I can stand here right now. I can go get a drink of water, you know. I mean, but He's talking about anything that has power in the Spirit. You can't do. So if you make up your mind, I'm going to do this. You can't do it. It's impossible. It's by God's power and God's Spirit. And so that's why we need the Word and prayer. These guys weren't staying in the Word. They weren't staying in prayer. They were walking after the flesh. We're going to see that all through the wilderness as they go through. Not as much in Exodus as we would have if we got into Numbers. In Numbers, you see these guys, man, they really just were living for their own flesh and for the world. And, you know, although they said this, they wanted to do it, they failed. But guys, here's the thing for us. Some of you have made up your mind. You've set your flag down. I'm not doing that sin again. I am changing today. That's it. I'm changing today. And let me just say this. I am thrilled about your desire to do that. I'm thrilled about your gusto. But the reality is, unless you begin to fall on your knees and cry out to God and depend on Him, you're not going to be able to do it. It's just impossible. And you're going to either learn that by hearing it and believing it, or you're going to learn it by experience. And here's where Satan beats you to death. You ready? You say, I'm not going to do that. And then you do it. And he comes to you and says, oh yeah, you really love God. Look how much you love God. You know, you're thinking, I do love God. I'm not doing that ever again. And you do it. See, you don't love God. You don't care anything. You don't want it. You're not serious. I am too. And you go through this battle. And then finally one day you cry out to God and say, God, I'm serious about this thing, but I've now learned I can't do it. And God gives you power. Yes, we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what that's for. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is there to give you power so you can have victory in these areas that you can't by self-determination. So they say it. Good for them, but they're not going to be able to do it. And notice, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning, and he built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. I love it. Putting these things up, these altars for them. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings. Notice that. Notice this. Notice he built the 12 pillars of the 12 tribes. That is to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And then notice next after that in verse 5, then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. Now, why did he send young men and not send his priests? I don't know that I know the answer, but I have a theory after today's study. And I'll share that with you. I find some things about this very interesting as I begin to mull over it and just kind of let it assimilate. Don't worry, nothing heretical. I'm not going to make anything up. Just some interesting things. But remember that, the 12 pillars, the 12 tribes, and the young men who offered the sacrifice to the Lord for this covenant that was to be made. And notice Moses took half of the blood, put it in basins, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. So he put blood in two different places, and he goes and puts it here at the altar. So then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people and said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient." There it is again. "All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient." And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to the words." Now again, here's that blood had to be sprinkling. What is the cleansing? The cleansing comes by the blood again. Now this was only temporary blood, animal blood. It wasn't, you know, the Lord's blood. But again, we see that whole covenant in blood. This first covenant. And remember that. The first covenant God made in blood, even as the second covenant is going to be made in blood as well. And notice then it says in verse 8, well, again, as even as the first sprinkling ratified the first covenant, the second sprinkling will ratify the second covenant. We'll get to that. But then Moses went up also, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. They had lunch with God. We're going to see in a minute they ate, but can you imagine seeing God? Now, this isn't the full glory of God because we can't see the full glory of God in these bodies that live. When we see God in these bodies, it's in the form of Jesus Christ. So this was the Lord revealing himself, kind of the angel of the Lord thing, through the Lord, but seated on his throne. And the description here, I mean, just there they are with the Lord. Amazing. They visibly see God's throne. I mean, that would just would blow you away. And notice how it describes it here. It says, they saw under his feet, as it were, paved work of sapphire stone, like the very heavens in its clarity. You know, tonight we were singing about, I mean, Jake was praying about seeing God in clarity. That's exactly what they did. They saw God in clarity. They were able to see this. You know, the Bible talks about the sea of glass in Revelation. Remember before the throne was the sea of glass? They're seeing that sea of glass. And it says it's like the clarity of the heavens, like the blue sky, like a sapphire, the blue sky of the heavens, the clarity that they see underneath the Lord. And you know, I find that the closer we get to the Lord, the more clearly we see. Is that not true? I mean, the whole picture he gives, you know, they still stood afar off, but the closer we get, the clarity increases on the Lord. And just this whole picture of what the throne was like and this whole picture of what was under the Lord. You know, Ezekiel 126 gives a vision of this again. And in Ezekiel's vision, listen to what it says. I'll read it to you. It says, "And above the firmament, over the heads of the angels, that is, was the likeness of a throne in appearance like a sapphire stone." Even just like here. That same sapphire. "On the throne was the likeness and the appearance of a man high above it." The Lord seated. High lifted up. And on this throne. Just amazing. And notice what it says. "But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God and they ate and they drank." Now, a couple of things. Notice this. Again, he didn't lay his hand on them. Why? Because the closeness wasn't there. The blood had to. God wanted the nearness, but he couldn't yet lay his hand on man. And man couldn't yet lay his hand on God. Why? Because the blood had to make that possible. But notice this. Here it says, "And he ate and he drank." They saw God and they ate and they drank. They had this lunch with God, so to speak, as they're watching all this. And what this must have been like, I mean, just trying to imagine, you know, them seeing this. And just amazing. Again, you can try to picture it in your own mind, what it must have been like. But they saw him there in his clarity. They ate and they drank with the Lord. And then they had this relationship. Now, before I go on in 12, this is where I want to kind of shift it a little bit and say, this was the first covenant. A covenant ratified in blood, if you will. But as we go through this, just quickly again, I want you to remember the second covenant. Remember the first covenant was there. What was the second covenant? It was the Lord with his disciples. Remember the Lord said, "I make this covenant in my blood, this new covenant in my blood." That whole picture again, the first one being of animals, the second one being of his blood. And that's why the Lord said, "I have longed for this day." See, God, the Lord was here. This was Jesus manifesting himself because that's the way we see the Father. We can't see him in his full spirit glory. And he was having this meal with his disciples, if you will. wanting to be close to them, not able to lay his hand on them, them having to be from afar. And now he says to them in the candlelight of that room when they came to the Last Supper, he says, how I have longed for this night. I've longed for this. I've burned for this. I couldn't wait for this. And it's almost like you could fill in the blank and say, ever since the wilderness and that time you guys were so far away, now you can draw near. I'm about to rip the veil in two and change everything in your life. And notice this. Remember what I said? They're very interesting. In verse 4, it says, when Moses wrote the words down, he rose early in the morning and built the altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel, with the Lord at that supper were the 12 pillars. Now, I know that one of them was a betrayer and left, but the typology, do you follow me? The 12 pillars of the disciples, they're with the Lord in this ratification of this second covenant, even as the first covenant had been ratified. Now the second one was, and even as they had the 12 pillars then, the Lord had the 12 pillars, at least in type, with the one betrayer there with him at the meal. And then notice it says, he sent young men of the children of Israel. It's like, why in the world? It's funny, I was reading the commentaries, and they go, well, you know, nobody, most of them ignored that. I see stuff like that and I go, he sent young men. Why did he send young men? He has priests. Were these guys priests? Were they not priests? What's the Lord doing? Guys, I believe it's to fill the picture and the type of this whole picture of what the second covenant is going to be like. And notice what the young men did. They offered burnt offerings and sacrifices and peace offerings to the Lord. You remember when the Lord spoke to them as they were coming in into Jerusalem, he sent who? He sent two disciples and said, go and sacrifice the lamb and make ready for me. He sent two young men. Most believe that they're disciples. He sent them ahead. They sacrificed the animal. They made ready the Passover, and the 12 pillars were gathered together for the ratification of this second covenant. So, awesome. Well, and something else I don't want you to miss here either, because notice here it says that he took the blood there in verse 6. He took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Again, the Lord's blood was sprinkled all over the Temple Mount. Part of it was down there at the altar. Part of it was up at the cross, the different altar of the Lord. And I think there's a picture here of just the spreading out of the blood of the Lord. You know, when they were beating him and they were striking him and blood was flying off of his head and off of his face and dripping down with the thorns on him. He was dripping blood there on the Temple Mount, which was one of the requirements of the Passover lamb. You would drip the blood there on the Temple Mount. And then, of course, you would take the lamb, the full burnt offering outside, the sin offering outside of the walls, even as the Lord was taken outside and nailed on the cross. And so this whole picture here, he says, this is the blood. Look at this line at the end of verse 8. This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all the words. Remember what the Lord said to his disciples? This is my blood. He broke the bread and said, this is my body. Eat of it. It's me. Then he took the blood and gave him the cup. He said, drink. This is my blood given for you. This new covenant in my blood. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to drink of the vine again until I'm with you guys in the kingdom. There was the first covenant. There's the second covenant. And I'm waiting on my bride. I mean, God loves us so much. As his bride, he says, you know what? I don't do anything without you. I'm waiting. I mean, is that awesome or what? He's not even like, there's this huge, he's in heaven. Can you imagine what kind of feast you could have in heaven? I remember hearing a couple one time saying that they kind of had this deal going on. I mean, I guess they were serious about their desserts. But they had this commitment. They would never eat a good dessert without the other one being there. I don't know that I could go that far. I love Tracy, but you put that sinful Sydney Sunday in front of me at Outback. Anyway, she made, again, the covenant, the whole picture of the Lord. And so I think that's what's going on here, guys. I think that God has given a picture of this first covenant, the second covenant, and the blood of the Lord. And they saw God. And see, here's the thing. Notice after the Lord was crucified and after the Lord was sacrificed, they saw him in clarity. Notice that they saw God and they ate with him. What did they do? They sat down and ate with him. They broke bread. And they had the cup and they had this meal with God. Even as they got blood and the meal in the first one, they did the same thing in the second one. They had the meal and the blood. It was just reversed. You had the blood and then you had the meal in the first covenant. And now in the second covenant, you have the meal and then the blood. Because the blood was already covering temporarily. So the fellowship was there, but now it had to be that blood that was spilled to take it away. But he didn't lay his hand on them. And I love this, verse 11. He says he didn't lay his hand on them there, but now the Lord does lay his hand on us. Isn't that great? He lays his hand on us. We have that connection again. In verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me to the mountain and be there. You can pause on that for a minute. And I'll give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written that you may teach them. I love this, guys. This is what he's saying. Look, if you will just spend time with me, just be there. I'll give you the law. I'll give you tablets of stone. I'll write, not the law that we come under, but the picture of God's word. What do I mean by that? Listen. Our job is just to be there. If we're going to get to know the Lord and develop a relationship, what do we have to do? Be there. Can we have a relationship with the Lord if we're never around Him? Can we have a relationship with the Lord if we're doing all these other things all the time? No, we need to set aside that time and say, Lord, I'm going to be there. Here I am. I'm going to be there because I want to spend time with you, Lord. And I want to meet you and I want to get to know you. And so it's being there is how that relationship is established. Being there is how God can pour into us. Being there is how God can change our lives and take us where He wants to be. If we're not there, that's never going to happen. We can be saved, but we're not going to have that intimacy. You know, it's that whole thing of, yeah, we're in the kingdom, but where's the relationship? Where's the intimacy? Where's the closeness? He's just going through the motions. He says, no, you need to be there. And notice this, and I will give you tablets of stone. You do that, I'll develop that relationship. I'll give you the law. And I'll give you so much, notice this, that you can teach others. I'll give you so much that when you run into other people, you can teach them. Wow, where'd you get that? I was being there. I just was being, what do you mean? Well, I just made a commitment. I don't get a lot out of the Bible. I don't know it that much, but I know that He wants me. I know He wants a relationship with me. I know He wants to spend time with me. So I'm just making that time available, and I'm going to be there. And so when I'm there, He's there. He shows up in power, and He speaks to me. And so He told me that, and so I'm sharing that with you. It's awesome. It's a real easy formula, but it's hard for us to do sometimes. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua. Now this guy, I wish we could see more of him in Numbers and all. This guy's an amazing guy. His assistant Joshua, which by the way, Joshua is going to be the one that takes him in the promised land. And remember what Joshua translates into? Jesus. That's exactly right. He translates into Jesus. And Moses, the keeper of the law, was not able to take him in. Do you see the whole picture God's giving? But Joshua, Jesus, was able to take into the promised land. Now again, why do I say that? Because that addresses those today who try to get into the promised land, that walk with God, that closeness by the law. Can't do it. Can't do it. There's no way. It has to be through Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. And so God's going to use this whole picture even of Moses and Joshua. These guys are going to be together all through this wilderness wandering. They're going to be, you know, really two of the last ones even standing. You know, Caleb and is going to be there, but pretty much there's not going to be that many left by the time they get to the end. Even Moses isn't going to get to go in. Because again, that whole picture of the law and the fact that he was disobedient to the Lord at the very end. But Joshua takes him in. And so he's going to be this assistant that Moses is raising up, a faithful assistant. And Moses went up to the mountain of God. So I love it. There's this whole setting now, getting this closeness to God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. In other words, you can't have that right now. That he can't lay his hand on you. You can't have that closeness. And the only reason I can is because God has done something amazing in my life over the last 40 years. He's got me in a place I can do this. But even I can't get to God the way I want to. And Joshua's not going to get to. Joshua's going to stop partway up the mountain. You know one of the amazing things when you read in Numbers about Joshua? Moses goes up there for 40 days and 40 nights. We're going to read. Joshua's halfway up the mountain just waiting on him. Now that's the kind of assistant pastor you want, guys. You know, goes up on the mountain for 40 days. Go, man, where is that guy? You know, 40 days, 40 nights. Come on. I got to teach for him again. You know, and they stayed. They manned their post, right? There's a whole study on Joshua. We're not going to get into, obviously, but this Joshua was a great guy. So he says, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. And if any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. So he leaves some other guys in charge and says, you know what? If there's any problem, you go to those guys. They'll take care of it. And then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. So here's that cloud, that Shekinah glory of God covering the mountain, you know, that they saw all through the wilderness. So what an amazing thing. I just think about that cloud, just being able to see the presence of God. Amazing. And the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. Note that. And on the seventh day, God called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Moses goes up in there to meet with God and has 6 days of waiting before God even speaks to him. How many of us? Me. 5 minutes into it. Squinting. I can't. I have to talk, Lord. Because I have to talk. I can't sit still and be quiet. I have to talk. 6 days. And I don't think Moses was up in the cloud going, okay, all right, let's see now. When the Lord talks to me, we'll cover this. I got these things to do. When I get back, I got to make sure we get ready for the conference next week, you know, Wilderness Chapel. And I've got all these things happening in my mind, you know. He was quiet. That just amazes me. That you could be quiet before the Lord for 6 days. I mean, I don't know that I've done it 6 minutes. I'm not joking. Time that. Sit down and look at yourself. Say, he did it 6 days. I'm going 6 minutes. If you're my kind of personality, in 30 seconds, you'll be going, how long is it? Well, 30 seconds, okay. Okay, then you make it a minute, you think you're doing great. Amazing. So after 6 days, the Lord calls out to Moses. And sometimes, you know, guys, it takes a while to hear the Lord. I get impatient. I want to hear now, God. I got to hear. Sometimes God speaks right away. Do you love it when he does that? I'll be like, God, please, I got to hear right now. Boom, he'll speak. I love those times. I'm like, thank you. Sometimes I say that and it's like 6 days in a cloud. Everything's cloudy. Why am I not hearing? How come I don't have clarity? Why isn't the clarity of sapphire that's underneath the throne? Why don't I see God clearly? Why is everything cloudy? And why are you not speaking, God? Understand, if you're in that place right now, or you get in that place, if you're not, you will. So did Moses. Don't despair. There's times God does it to grow us. He does it to mature us. God didn't have to wait 6 days before he talked to Moses. He was doing something in Moses. And God will do the same thing in us. He teaches us, and sometimes it's hard. Again, Moses is probably a lot more laid back by this time. You know, he's 80-some years old. He's a grandpa, and, you know, maybe it was a little bit easier, but either way. And so he's there, and God speaks to him out of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So they see this going on, and they see God's glory and all this happening up there. And, you know, they can't go into it. And notice this. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up onto the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Guys, by the way, this was 40 days and 40 nights without any food or water. Food or water. I mean, it wasn't just food. We can go 40 days, you know. Some people can't. Some people will die on a 40-day fast. But a lot of people can go 40 days and not eat food. But you can't go 40 days without water. Supernatural time with God. Supernatural things happening that normally can't happen. And guys, let me just say this. When you spend time with God, and I've seen this to be true, when you're just there and you spend time with God, he does supernatural things in your life that couldn't be done any other way. I've had days where I'm like, I have absolutely so much to do today. I mean, I've got to set the alarm early. The gun goes off and boom. And I've had days where I've done that, neglected prayer and in the Word, because I'm just convinced I've got so much to do. Boom, I've got to go. And then I've had days like that where God has spoken to my heart and said, now, wait a minute. You can still get up early. You should. But you're so busy that you don't have time to spend time with me. Don't you think that I can handle it? And I remember learning that lesson and almost kind of like, you know, you have to make yourself do it. Okay, I've got all these things to do. Let's read the Bible. And, you know, you're reading it. And then you pray, and it's not as long as it should be, but you spend that time and you do it. I'm telling you, when I've done that, I get more done. It's like I'm at the end of the day and I have time left. I don't understand it. All I know is something supernatural happens when we set aside a time for the Lord. We spend time in the Word and prayer. There's something that goes on in the spiritual realm. I don't know. I mean, God controls time. You know, maybe he makes our time slow down or something, you know. I don't know what he does, but he does something. So don't neglect the time in prayer. Guys, as I look at tonight, I mean, there's several things to point out. First of all, just being thankful for the blood and realizing what God has done for us in the blood. But guys, the lessons of the relationship, waiting on the Lord, being there. And if we'll just be there, God will give us what we need, and he'll give us so much we can give it to others. And then learning to wait on the Lord. Again, that's a hard one. Just not being afraid of the quiet for a moment. Just waiting on God. And then when you find yourself in that cloud and there's no answer coming, just continue to wait. Trust in God. And God will do supernatural things through that.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Exodus. There's so much to discover and appreciate about God and his awesome power. So much of this book touches on God's redemption for his people. His love and care for them is what compels him to do unheard acts to prove that he's for them and is there to rescue them. What a caring, loving God to go to such great measures to look out for his people. He has the same care and concern for you as well, and he wants to be your rescue. If you're unsure if you need to be rescued, we encourage you to hop over to thewaymedia.net and ask us any questions you have. Find the Come to the Table link, and then there's a form under Questions and Comments. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. You can also hear this message again at thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we appreciate your prayers during this study through Exodus. Although this is an Old Testament book of historical accounts, there's so much to gain about the nature of God and his unrelenting loyalty to his people. We hope this overarching message is conveyed through Pastor Mark's teachings. We appreciate your prayers for this ministry as the Word of God goes forth to many who might not have heard it otherwise. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Exodus, so we hope you'll be able to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.